Welcome to a special website-exclusive podcast of WJR's Internet Advisor. Catch it live weekends on News Talk 760 WJR and online at internetadvisor.net. Now, here are your hosts, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and Ed Rudell.
Hi, folks. This is the second hour of the Internet Advisor, kind of where the rubber meets the road. I love that these things would look that way. Gary Baker is in studio with us. Gary and I, for the last 14 years, have been doing this, answering, getting more complicated questions all the time. And sometimes same old questions as well.
And sometimes those same old questions help a lot of people with the answers.
Absolutely, they do.
If people have those questions, we'd like them to call in.
And the two amigos are with us. So we've got Ed Rudell and Cal Carson, both techs with HP here in Detroit. Matter of fact, this week, Eddie Skyped me on his HP tablet.
Yeah, you know, I was
really cool.
It worked very well, and I was surprised that Skype was integrated into it. So it worked very well.
And I got to watch you and Cal in the cubicle.
You know, what's really scary about this, because radio is the theater of the mind. There are people at home right now sitting there, seeing me and Ed sitting here with two sombreros on.
It's great. Andre, let it go.
One of the things I was most impressed with the touchpad was that it has what's known as a charging stone. So it has that inductive charging and not too expensive either.
So when you lay it on the stand,
sit on a stand, or, you know, even their new phones that are going to be coming out have that ability.
Oh no, we got to do this. Tell them about that other feature. When you take it can tell what stand it's in, and it'll act one way or act the other way.
Right. So if you get multiple stands, one at work and one for home, and you set it in there and charge it and stuff, that each of the stands has like a unique serial number. So when you're at work, it'll show a calendar and such. But when you're at home, it acts as a photo frame. You could choose which background you want.
This is
each
the HP
touchpad,
the brand new one that's coming out.
And there's a $100 rebate on it this week.
Right, it's $399.
Instant rebate.
It's big,
incredible.
Very, it is.
I wish I would have waited another week.
All right, let's get to our phone calls. And by the way, the phone number again, 800-859-0957. Our first caller today, Kenneth from Ann Arbor. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. What can we do for you, Ken?
Hi, good afternoon. Have any of you heard of supposedly a Microsoft program called Safety Scanner? Last week I was using the computer, and this program appeared out of nowhere, purporting to say I had a ton of viruses.
And what did you do?
It was really a son of a gun to get rid of. I finally got into the program files and was able to let that execute and let Internet security take it out. But they claim that this is a bona fide Microsoft group that evaluates whether or not a file is a virus or not.
Right.
They were looking for, the suspicious part, they were looking for $80 to put your computer back to normal.
No, that sounds like a scam.
Yeah, that does sound like a scam.
Well, but
I mean, it is a legitimate product name.
Legitimate.
It's a product name called Microsoft Safety Scanner. But anyone that extorts money from you, that, you know, that's not the case.
Right off the
bat.
Because
Microsoft uses Microsoft Security Essentials, which is their full-fledged antivirus malware program, and they have something called a Safety Net Scanner, and they also have Microsoft product called SpyNet. Like, when you install Microsoft Security Essentials, it'll ask you, do you wish to participate in Microsoft's SpyNet program so that you can report malicious programs to Microsoft to help us better our product? And that's a choice, yes or no.
It was something else to get rid of.
But did you get it? You feel that you've got rid of it completely?
I believe so. I have run Safety Scanner. They have run their internet security, their security.
Okay. So you've done your homework. That's good. But anytime anything pops up and says, "I will do this for you for this amount of money," or it's bogus.
It was a heck of a counterfeit, because it looked exactly like a legit Microsoft.
Oh, and that's part of what they call social engineering.
Yep. And Microsoft Safety Scanner is a legitimate program. This just happened to use the same name, but it wasn't legit.
Wasn't it? Yeah. Yep. When it pops up like that, that's one of the key indications. Ken, thank you for calling and for letting us in on that.
Yeah,
next, let's go to Ed who's with us on a cell phone. Hi, Ed. How you doing? And welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Well, thank you guys for taking my phone call.
Sure.
I feel so important now.
All right.
Good. We're glad to help.
My problem is I got a vinyl cutter and in my office, and I shut it down for a number of months now, and now I turned it back on, and it doesn't understand it's the vinyl cutter's there. And I don't want to name names of what computer or what kind of vinyl cutter is, and that's advertising.
Oh, okay. Could you explain to us what a vinyl cover or cutter is?
Well, it's basically it will cut out letters, numbers, or figures that you can put on the side of your vehicle or on a boat. You know, the little numbers that you see on vehicles.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it's like a huge printer, but it cuts
it's a tool.
Instead.
Right.
Exactly. But it doesn't recognize that it's there, and it knows the program's in the computer, but it doesn't communicate between the two.
Well, the first thing that I would probably do right off the bat, tell me something about the vinyl cutter. How do you connect it with a USB cable?
Yes.
Okay, we're coming up on the end of for a break real quick here. Why don't I grab you on the phone, and we'll talk a little bit more about it, and we'll come back after a break, and we'll finish up with it, okay?
Sounds good.
So hold on.
Yep, hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment to take with some solutions for him. And for your questions, 800-859-0957. Back to take more calls there as well on the Internet Advisor.
You're listening to a podcast of WJR's Internet Advisor. You can find more resources to protect your computer on our webpage at internetadvisor.net.
That, by the way, is the magic number. And I just a little word of advice for you. Don't put off giving us a call, because what can happen very often is that the phones begin to build up, and as we get towards the end of the program, we can't take care of all the people. And right now would be a good time to call, because we do have some phone lines open at 800-859-0957. Let's go back to Ed, who was on a cell phone, and Ed, we were talking with you about a vinyl printer that cuts out letters. And I think you and Cal were talking during the break. Cal?
Yeah, Foster, we'll go back to what we were talking about before. And I was talking with Ed, and his problem, because it's a technical machine that does something a little bit different than most printers normally do, he's going to need someone that's going to have some IT expertise to actually come to him. And he has tried all the things that normal people should do whenever they have a problem with a printer. He's tried switching out the USB cable. He's tried switching the USB ports. The computers themselves aren't on the internet, so he hasn't got any new updates or anything that would have changed the drivers or anything like that. So he's got some specialized problems there. And I was thinking maybe, is it Shane? Might be a person he might want to check into, or someone like
yes,
that?
Yes, with CompuQuest is the name of the company. Shane Hamlin has been on the air with us. And
he's actually on your side of town, if I'm not mistaken, too.
He's up in the
like Clinton Township area.
I just visited the shop this week. It's
Clinton Township?
Clinton Township, yeah.
Yeah, so it's CompuQuest, right?
Yep, CompuQuest.
So have you tried to uninstall the program and then install the program again?
No, that's the only thing I haven't done. I could probably try that out and see if it would work, but it's been in there. It had worked before,
right.
And we didn't have to uninstall it before, so I'm kind of curious on how.
I'm just thinking of what I think of, and I think Cal had a great idea, which is you're going to have somebody come out. I'm just thinking of one last less costly alternative before you do that.
Well, just uninstall it and then reinstall it and see if it would. Hey, we come up and see if it recognizes.
Yeah, you'd have to uninstall, power down, power it back up, power it down again. So you do it twice, and then bring it back up and install again.
Okay.
But what you're really trying to do is uninstall every last little bit of that program.
Bit of it, correct.
I think it had something to add to that. The only thing I was going to ask is, because this is a USB device, is that if you plugged it into another computer, like a laptop or something, does it even recognize that there's a communication device on the USB port and attempts to install the software? Have you even gotten to that point?
No, I haven't. I haven't tried that because I've just designated this one computer to do only the function of the vinyl cutting.
Right. Now, that's the only thing I could think of. I mean, that way you can identify if it's is it intelligent enough to be recognized by another Windows device? You know, that way you can identify if it's something on the computer or the device.
Or on the device.
Correct.
Okay.
Like a laptop.
So. Good troubleshooting. All right. Take care of yourself, sir.
Thank you, and thank you for answering my question.
You're welcome. Thanks, all right, that's what we're here to do. 1-800-859-0957. And hello to Jerry in Dundee. How may we help you, Jerry?
Hi. I have Windows Live Mail. I'm running Windows 7 64-bit.
Mm-hmm.
And two-thirds of the time, and I tried it now, and you wouldn't do it, it's always saying not responding. It just shuts right down. It's slow as all get out.
Okay. So,
what?
Go ahead.
Once in a while, if I run a cleaner or something, it runs good for a day, then it's right back at it.
And so Windows Live Mail is the old Hotmail, right?
Yeah. It's Windows Live Mail.
Yep. Yeah, that's the new name for it, right?
Right.
I think so.
It sounds like it's network related, so I'm assuming that you have full access to the internet when you're doing this.
Yeah, I have a cable modem. My wife doesn't do it, just mine.
Right.
And we have a cable modem, and we're, you know, on the internet through that. That's pretty fair, 2.8 and 0.47.
Right. Are you wireless when you're doing this?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the only program that does that, though, but just is not responding. It comes up just like the old, Vista, a lot of so many programs say not responding. This is Windows Live Mail does this all the time, so not responding.
Have you tried?
And it won't do a thing.
Have you tried to uninstall it and reinstall it? The
no,
software? Because I believe when you uninstall it, it stores all the personal folders on your computer, and when you uninstall it, it will ask you, do you wish to remove also your mail and your personal settings? You could select no at that point, but you should then be able to go to Microsoft's website and re-download the software again. I mean, that's what I'm suspecting. I haven't played that much with Microsoft Mail. Cal, have you played with it much?
No, I don't.
Because I'm in the corporate environment and we use Outlook so much.
I'm on Hotmail.
I still do have a Live Mail account, but I don't actually use it on the machine itself. But there is a knowledge base out on Microsoft's website you might want to search and give a try, and it's KB245-4826. Do a Google search for KB245-4826. 4826.
Let me, one minute.
It talks
let me
a little bit about
down.
That.
I just grabbed a piece of paper on my wife's desk.
KB245-4826. And two things that's good about that on that Microsoft website. It'll tell you the steps you can do to try and go through and fix that, and it may relieve the problem for you. But it also has a button on there that says, let Microsoft fix it, and you click it, and it'll go through and give it a chance.
That's a new thing that they've got.
Fix it?
Yes.
Mr. Fix-It is called.
Yeah. And sometimes
looks like Builder
it works
Bob.
Pretty good.
Sort of looks
if
like Builder Bob.
If I could use something besides this, I sure would. And when I got it, it had this. And I had a terrible time because my other hard drive crashed in Vista, so I had to have an outfit, transfer all my stuff over, my email that I had in that. Oh, what a mess.
Well, you could shift over to Gmail or, you know, one of the other.
I have Gmail, Yahoo. And I have my Windows Live Mail retrieve it from Gmail.
Well, you can reverse the process and have Gmail be your main one and retrieve stuff from Hotmail. Maybe it'll work better for you.
Anyway, I think he wants to have a local client. That's the play in this one.
I got you. Okay. All right, so, Jerry.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, for your call.
You
all
know,
right.
The interesting part, I went to Hotmail.com. I've never been on Hotmail with this computer. And it pulled up my photo. It pulled up. It says, get your Gary at GaryEBaker.com mail right here in Hotmail. It's all set up. I just got a welcome message. I haven't even signed up for Hotmail yet. This is all in preparation for me to sign up. Makes it real easy for
certainly
me to move to Hotmail.
Yeah, they have done a great job. Pardon?
And that brings up a good point is that he could still use the web-based client.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just having difficulty with the... you know, the locally installed Microsoft Live Mail client.
But he can still use the
web-based by going to hotmail.com.
I got you.
Yeah, but it sounds like he wants to get this nagging problem fixed. So.
Yep, good idea. Yep. Mike, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
I have a Billy Gates problem.
Billy Gates problem. Do tell.
It's probably me. It's probably not him. I've got a laptop with Windows XP on it. And we've had it for a few years, obviously. And when I first fired the thing up, I opened separate accounts for signing on for my wife and myself, which worked fine for a few years. All of a sudden here, about 3 months ago, the welcome page just went away. When I turn the computer on, I get a generic box that asks me for my sign-in and my password and all this and whether or not I want to either shut down or continue. and that's the only way I can get on. I was wondering, how do I get that welcome page back? I've gone into the program, you know, under the program section there, and there's nothing there. I can't get anything to. I go through the rigmarole to set it up, and it goes right back to this generic box again.
Did this happen right after you, had an upgrade of the operating system in any way? If you put, a service pack on, do you remember when this started happening?
3 or 4 months ago, but not exactly. It seems to me that it wasn't too long right after I had the Windows update downloaded.
Okay.
There was a little pile of them to come on. I didn't think of that. I quit working after that. So
we're going to have to take a break. Why don't you hold on, and we'll talk to you a little bit offline and then come back with you after the break. Does that sound good, Mike? So hold on.
We'll be back to help Mike with his problem and yours as well at 1-800-859-0957. The Internet Advisor is on the air.
You're listening to a podcast of WJR's Internet Advisor. Have a question? Post it in our discussion forums on our webpage at internetadvisor.net.
Thank you so much. By the way, let you know that the internetadvisor.net homepage is a great resource all the time for you. Ed Riddell has put together an excellent collection of free tools to help you to keep your computer clean and running smoothly. In his toolkit, you'll find that at the top of the page. There's also forums, past shows, anything you need, and everything you need is there, and including an article that was sent to us by Steve Uhas, a friend of ours, about the 10 best antivirus programs for Macs. So you'll find that on internetadvisor.net under the news item. And let's go back now to, that was line number 3, and it's Mike, I believe. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Okay, now you and Ed were talking, so Ed, pick up the ball if you would, please.
Okay, so Mike, basically, him and his wife both had icons, so when they logged in, they would just select either of their names, and they could log in. Well, that's now disappeared, and he gets the old-fashioned Windows security screen where you have to type in the username and password, and he's doing it correctly. He goes into the control panel under users and then changes the login type back to the icons, but it's not sticking. And basically, it sounds like it's a quirk with the Windows, and something's corrupted. And I don't know if we're going to be able to fix them. But Cal, I was going to ask you, do you remember the Windows XP kit that they used to deliver with the plus thing? And it was basically a kit that down in your toolbar that gave you all these other ways of massaging your Windows 98 and Windows XP environment.
Wasn't it like the Microsoft Plus kit is what they used to call it?
That's what I'm thinking. Something like that.
But, you know, while you're thinking about that, I was going to go to Gary, and he always likes to whip this rascal out of the back of the box. And maybe System Restore might bring that back for him.
It's been 3 months.
So probably
not
after 3 months.
You'd have to lose by
trying,
though.
You could try, but it probably won't go back. I wonder if just installing the OS directly over the top, right?
Well, that would work, and it won't wipe out his data.
It won't wipe out anything else, but it might look at that one corrupted file and say, wait a minute, this is corrupted, and put the original file back in.
Yeah, and that's if he has. Mike, do you still have the original operating system, or did this come from a manufacturer?
Yeah, well, this came with the laptop when I bought it, and they got to that point where they weren't giving you the program.
Did you make a backup by any chance?
Nah, I didn't.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So it's a good opportunity because you're running Windows XP. You could buy. Is this a desktop?
It's a laptop.
No. What? I'm thinking that he has a D drive on there that has a recovery partition on it.
Oh, it might be.
And what he could back up his data first from his documents and settings folders for both him and his wife, and then boot it to that D partition, run the recovery program, and then restore his data back on there. He'd be good as when he came out of the box.
I mean, yeah, that's one option. That's a lot of work.
You could look for that, Mike. The other thing is you can buy XP, on eBay or something, somebody that has that media. You might be able to get by with that. XP on eBay, it can't be much more than, $10.
Well, or Tiger Direct. You can go to tigerdirect.com.
You could go to Tiger Direct.
And you can get a laptop. I saw it for just $325 with Windows 7, and it'll blow the socks off of your computer you have home right now. And you can use the Microsoft File and Transfer Wizard. It'll copy yours and your wife's accounts from your old PC to your new one, and I bet you that one works.
We were just in Micro Center up on 14 Mile.
Yeah.
And got a really nice laptop for a friend, Toshiba laptop, brand new, $279.
Whoa.
3 gig. It was 250 gig of hard drive.
That's an incredible price.
Really nice machine, $279.
I just paid my mechanic that much to replace my axle.
Couldn't believe it.
Center is?
It's called Micro Center, and it's up on 14 Mile Road.
And
I-75. Yeah, just to the east of 75.
You can't miss it. You'll see a big building and thousands of people running all over it.
Yes.
The parking lot's always full.
It's full of geeks.
It's almost like...
men with the thousand-mile stare.
There are more people parking in that parking lot than it used to be when it used to be the Abbey Movie Theater.
Yes.
It's incredible.
It is incredible to see how many people are in there. All right, Mike, listen, we're going to move on, brother. Take care of yourself. All right, take care.
Hey, you know, when you mentioned a lot of geeks, did you know that Ann Arbor rated as the 16th highest number, or I think it was rated 16 out of 25 most geeks in the per capita?
Well, considering the fact that we've been sitting across from one for a couple of years now, I guess that confirms that fact.
Makes perfect sense.
Probably not hard to believe, right?
Not too hard.
Forbes magazine rated it.
Hi, Millie from New Boston. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. We'll see if we can get back to the advice. How are you doing?
Well, I'm just fine. Hi there, Jerry and Foster.
Hi,
I have a laptop that has a Vista program. That's been terrible from day one. I have heard that Microsoft has come out with a Windows 7 that you can download free.
Yep.
Is that true?
Well, it's not free.
Not free, no.
No.
So how old is your computer?
It's 4 years.
Okay.
So you could take and buy Windows 7 and install it right over the top of Vista, and it would go in. You'd need to look at your peripherals, you know, the printer and anything else you have, and some of your software to make sure that it's compatible. Or what we were just talking about, Cal.
Well, no, not what we were just talking about. When you were recommending that she go to Windows 7, the question is, what flavor?
Well, I mean, I think...
Windows Home Premium, I think,
would go to
is
Home
the basic.
Premium.
Yeah, it's the basic one.
Okay.
Yeah, just the cheap...
But that's...
Because I didn't want her to walk in the door and buy Ultimate, and she really doesn't need it.
Yeah, right,
exactly.
Yeah. But Windows Premium... Yeah, but Windows Home Premium is probably the right one.
Well, and if it's... And you might even be... Pardon me, Emily. It may be even cheaper as an upgrade. Because buying it outright is $199, I believe, for Windows Home Premium. But you could probably, as an upgrade, get it for a little less.
So if it's $199 buying it outright, and you bought a laptop for $279, you got a brand new version of Windows 7, got a whole new laptop with more memory, more power, more drive space, bigger screen, the whole shooting match, and she's got a four-year computer. Hey, look at that.
Yeah.
If you need us to write you a note to go buy one, I don't know if you have...
We'll give you permission.
Yeah.
It sounds like I need to go buy a new one.
And
just buy the low end like my friend did.
Yeah,
I mean, the low ends
today
are pretty reasonable.
That's all I need.
Yeah.
The low ends are incredible today. Absolutely incredible.
Just don't get a netbook unless you really do some research, because I don't think the netbook is what you want. But a low-end real PC laptop, you
Well,
I think it'd be great.
According to Microsoft, Home Premium is only $119.
$119
really?
For the upgrade? For the upgrade?
For the upgrade.
Yep.
Okay.
Wow, $119.
For the upgrade. But still, again, think that put the $119 towards a computer, a new computer. Gary was talking about one that's 2.5. You're not very far from, you know.
Right.
Wiping out all those problems and starting brand new with a wonderful new machine.
Right.
Okay.
I think you're right. Because this thing's been troublesome from day one.
Well, you know, unfortunately,
Millie, there were two, in recent history, there are two operating systems that Microsoft never should have released. Vista was one, and ME is the other.
Millennium Edition,
They should have never been released. But XP was a decent operating system, and you'll love Windows 7.
Windows 7 works very, very, very nicely. Okay, Millie.
Okay.
Take care, sweetheart.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye. Hi, Ernest. Welcome to the Internet Advisor from West Bloomfield. What can we do for you?
Yes. I had a malware on my computer. So I had somebody take off all the programs, reformat the drive, and reload all my stuff back on. And I have Windows 2003. Now, most everything works fine, but in Windows 2003, when I want to customize the toolbar and I hit, like, Tools and I go Customize, it won't let me add any icon to the toolbar.
I'm sorry, which toolbar?
This is in Office 2003.
The regular toolbar. I wanted to customize it by adding like a strike through icon to it and a cut and a capitalized icon.
So this is Word for Windows 2003.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Right. And then also I have Drag and Dictate. And before, when I loaded on Drag and Dictate, it would add the icon onto Word. But now it doesn't let me do that, and I have trouble with the dragon.
So, how old is your dragon?
I have 9.
9? Okay, so that's pretty reasonable.
Tell you what, we're gonna noodle this a little bit with you on the break, and come back and see if we got some answers for you. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, hang on. Back in just a moment here on the Internet Advisor with an answer to his question and a bunch of other people who are there right now. By the way, don't forget that we're here 24/7 for you at internetadvisor.net.
You're listening to a podcast of WJR's Internet Advisor. Have a question? Post it in our discussion forums on our webpage at internetadvisor.net.
And once again, I'd like to thank Mike Parsons for engineering our program today and Cindy Cooper for being the person answering the phone. Thank you so much for that.
And Cal Carson, who sits here with us every week. So.
Absolutely, along with Eddie Riddell and Gary Baker and myself. And by the way, we should remind you that during the week, 24/7, we have forums on our internetadvisor.net site that you can go to and ask a lot of these questions and get a whole bunch of people answering them as well. It's a great place to go, internetadvisor.net, and check out forums. Now let's get back to Ernest. You were talking to us before about some problems that you had with a rebuild of your system. And Ed, I think you had some thoughts.
Well, he's unable to add icons to the Office 2003 toolbar within Word, Excel, PowerPoint.
Can I say something real quick?
Yeah, yes. Go right ahead, Ernest.
I took off Microsoft Word and reloaded it.
Yes.
And I still had the same problem.
That's interesting. So I wasn't going to suggest to uninstall it, but when you uninstall it, it probably still has the same template file there. The only thing I could think of on this is, one, you don't have administrative rights to the PC, which doesn't make sense. You should still be able to massage your toolbar. The other thing is you possibly have a corrupted normal template file. So if you could search your computer for normal with a period, DOT, so it's normal dot dot. Every time you start Microsoft Office or Microsoft Word specifically, it searches for the normal dot dot, and if that file's damaged or corrupted, you're not going to be able to print properly. You're not going to be able to modify fonts. You could infect your toolbars. So you might want to find that file and delete it. The good thing is, as soon as you restart Microsoft Word, it creates a brand new out of the box normal dot dot template file. So search your computer for normal dot dot, and you'll probably find 4 of them. Just delete them all.
Delete them all,
and then it'll create a new one.
Shut down the computer, start it back up again, and it will reestablish those for you. Okay?
All right.
Try that out. Ernie.
And if that doesn't work,
go to
our forums.
Please, go to our forums.
And then we can spend more time kind of sifting through some of the options.
Okay, Joe from Farmington Hills, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's been a long-time listener, and I enjoy you each weekend.
Great.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Listen, I've got an Asus 8.5-inch laptop. It worked great, and then one day it wanted to go blue screen. When it went blue screen, I was not able to get back on the Internet. It says that the Internet is connected through the wireless network connection, and as a matter of fact, Windows was able to come in and give me an update, but I can't get out and look at anything on the Internet. When I try to go and use my email situation, sorry, my connecting through the window, I get nothing.
Have you got more than one web browser on your computer? Do you have Internet Explorer?
No, I only have the one web browser from Windows.
Well, the first thing I would think of, so you're getting updates. That's strange.
Yeah, I'm getting updates. I can use my Virgin mobile card, and then it will go out through a 3G connection, and it will dial up. It's not really a dial up. It's going out over the 3G,
right.
And I can get internet connection that way.
Oh, you know what? So you might want to go into your Internet Explorer options, and in there, underneath the connections box, you'll see what used to be used for dial up connections, but it's also used for 3G mobile cards. And in there, so if you go Tools, Internet Options, select the Connections tab, you'll see a white dialog box. And in the center there, you'll probably see your Virgin Mobile card referenced in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you may want to look at the settings of that, or if possible, just to look at them to see if there's anything damaged. I don't know if you have the documentation that shows what those settings should be. But
well, that's working fine.
Oh, that
it's
is.
Just, I can't. That's working fine. I just can't go out and use the wireless network. And it says it's connected.
So this is
your Virgin Mobile
Wi-Fi.
Works.
Wi-Fi
my Virgin Mobile works fine.
It's the Wi-Fi that's not working.
Delete your wireless network card and then reboot your computer, let Windows re-add it. So if you're running Windows XP, you would go into your right mouse click on your My Computer, select Properties, and then you go into your Device Manager. That'll bring up Device Manager. Go to your Hardware tab. And then select your Device Manager button.
I wiped out the mobile Virgin Mobile.
But I thought you said it was your wireless card, your Wi-Fi card.
No.
My wireless is not working right.
Well, that's okay, just I it. Can't. See, your Virgin card is working, but the wireless built into the machine is not. And I think that's what Ed's talking about.
And what I'm talking about is going to Device Manager and going underneath the network adapters, deleting the Wi-Fi adapter, rebooting, and then letting Windows reload all the software and the TCP/IP protocols to possibly get that working again.
Gotcha. I agree.
Okay. I'll try to think. Thank you very much, sirs.
You're welcome. Sorry I went down that wrong path for a second. Yeah. But wireless and cellular wireless, a little confusing.
Wireless and cellular are different.
Yeah. Yep. But that is exactly how we get ourselves down the wrong path. Anyway, let's see. Let's pick up Dennis here and see if we can get this wrapped up before we end our show today. Dennis from Highland, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
I never miss your show. Great, great guys. Keep it up. I learned so much.
Great. Thanks, Dennis.
I had some friends of my contact list started sending me, say, hey, did you send this? And somebody said I had a robot virus sending stuff out of my email account with my name on it. I run AVG Free, and I have the Norton with Comcast. And I have the Windows Defender, and I ran scans, and the only one that found it was the Norton, or at least they found a serious threat, and of course wanted $40 to fix it.
But Norton none wanted of the $40?
Other $40. Yeah, they wanted me to sign up for.
Oh, I got you. You had to
just to buy Norton.
So, and I said, wait a minute. The guys said to run Malware Bytes, so I ran Malware Bytes, and it didn't find anything. And someone told me to just change my Yahoo password, and it would go away, which I did. And nobody's complaining now that they're getting unsolicited stuff from me, but did it fix the problem?
Yeah, so here's the thing. Where do you have Comcast, or where do you get your connectivity?
Comcast wireless.
Yeah, so Comcast will provide you Norton free. All you have to do is go to your Comcast account, go to securities, and you can download Norton, and they provide that to all of their customers free of charge.
Yeah.
So that's how you can get Norton. Now, what may have happened is you don't have a virus at all. What happened was your password was guessed or somehow, found out, and somebody was using your email account. So by changing the password, now they can't get in anymore. But you had maybe an easy-to-guess password, or somehow they got your password.
Okay.
And by changing your password, now they can't use it anymore. So you just solved your problem.
Right. And it is, and I've had the same password for a long time, but I'm at the point now with I'm changing my online passwords quite regularly.
Yep.
You know, even though I'm starting to make the passwords,
it's maddening, but it's necessary.
Yeah, yeah.
It is.
And how radical do you need to change your password?
How about this? Radical, yes. Do this.
So,
make it, what, 6 to 8 characters?
No, more than that.
At least 8 characters.
No, at least no. 8 characters?
What they're saying now is 12 characters, yeah. And you could do like cat dot dog, 3-letter words, pick out 3 3-letter words, and put punctuation between them and put a number at the end.
Yeah.
So you could
dollar
do,
sign or
you know, swim dot cat dot, you know.
Hey, Dennis,
drown.
Do this. Google strong passwords. You'll find plenty of formulas in there for that.
At the Microsoft Safety and Security Center, if you go to Microsoft.com, they have a whole page on how to create a strong password.
There you go.
And we can put that link up on our InternetAdvisor.net
site.
Yeah,
we'll do that, okay?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we're all faced with it. Hey,
we're out of time.
Gary and Gail, thank you so much. Cindy, Mike, thank you as well. Mind the glass. All of you who participated, it's been a ball. Have a great, great weekend, and we will see you back here, same place, same time, for the Internet Advisor this coming week.
You've been listening to a podcast of the second hour of WJR's Internet Advisor. You can find a link to the first hour on our webpage at internetadvisor.net.